Welcome to NSPCC Learning, a series of podcasts that cover a range of child protection issues to hopefully inform, create debate, and tell you all about the work we do to keep children safe. At the heart of every podcast is the child's voice and how what they tell us informs the work we do.
Hi, and welcome to the latest NSPCC Learning podcast. This episode focuses on our DART service. DART stands for Domestic Abuse Recovering Together and is a group work programme to help children overcome the adverse effects of domestic abuse. The service, which has been running for 10 years now, provides children and mothers with an opportunity to meet others who have lived through similar experiences. And although DART does focus solely on mothers and children, we do acknowledge that both men and women can be victims of domestic abuse. I had a chat with Claire Burns, the NSPCC's Implementation Manager for DART, Mel Hewson, one of the NSPCC's Children's Services Practitioners, who has years of experience working with families on DART, and Natalie Everson, the DART Programme Coordinator for My Sister's House Women's Centre. We talked about how DART differs from other domestic abuse services and how it's evolved over the past decade. We also spoke about how DART has been scaled up to reach even more children and families by supporting organisations to adopt, implement and deliver DART themselves in their area. We also referenced the Domestic Abuse Bill, which is currently being taken forward in Parliament, and wanted to clarify that the majority of the provisions in the bill apply to England and Wales or England only. I began by asking Claire how DART was initially conceived.
So it came from our expertise, from our practitioners across the UK who were working in this space. And we looked at the commonality of the work that they were undertaking around about domestic abuse recovery, the real strengths that we could see, fantastic examples of best practice. We combined that and then looked to the external landscape about the evidence base out there. And what we were able to see from evidence already in existence from academics such as Cathy Humphreys in her 2006 work, Talking to My Mum, was that when the non-abusive parent and the child participate in recovery work together, that their outcomes are improved. So that gave us our DART service, looking at how mums and children can recover together. We piloted that, as I said, back in 2010, and the service is a 10-week group work programme for mums and children. Looking at their recovery and what makes it a bit different from other programmes, other recovery services, is that in addition to the mums working in a mums group and the children working in a children's group, they work together, which is a real, real advantage to that recovery process, as I said.
And it's been recognised by the Home Office, is that right? Have I got that right, Claire?
Yes, it is. We're really, really proud of our DART service, as we would have been anyway. However, we have received external recognition from the Home Office as an example of best practice of a child-focused recovery service, recognising that children don't just witness domestic abuse, they do experience it and do need their own recovery, and that is crucial for their longer-term outcomes. And in addition, we received a highly commended award from Children and Young People Now in terms of our service. So whilst we as practitioners, as service providers, are so proud of our service, it is fantastic to get that external recognition for the quality of work that we're undertaking, and also for the collaboration. That we couldn't have done it without the mums and children who were willing to be part of this journey with us. So it's fantastic to sort of get that external recognition also.
So Claire, as you mentioned, DART is now 10 years old. You guys all work on it. Can you talk about how it's evolved over the past decade, kind of its successes and maybe what it looks like now as opposed to what it looked like 10 years ago?
Yes, so I guess like any 10-year-old, it's grown over the years, it's got more independent, it's learned a lot, there's been stumbling blocks along the way. It takes a lot to get a service or a child indeed to 10 years old, as I'm sure some of the parents amongst us can recognise. It's not a journey without, you know, some challenges along the way. So it really has evolved over the 10 years. The service that we developed, as I said, going through that process, which is crucial to our test, learn and scale approach at the NSPCC, looking internally and externally for what could be a potential solution to a challenge out there. We piloted that service and we evaluated it, because evaluation is crucial to our approach to services. So that evaluation was published in 2016. And in essence, it was looking at, does this work? Are we achieving impact? Are we achieving change? And as we were so pleased to be able to see on the back of that, we were able to evidence that DART was achieving change, and also it was achieving statistically significant outcomes. So that in and of itself is a great thing to be able to evidence. And those statistically significant changes were around things like maternal self-esteem, like mum's confidence in parenting, and children's emotional and behavioural difficulties. So to have that evidence base to say this programme works and it does achieve these changes is fantastic. That evidence, that evaluation, combined with some of the qualitative feedback we were getting from mums and children as well, gave us a real richness, a real sense that this programme was worth it. We knew it was making an impact. We could see the change. We were getting feedback from a range of sources. In fact, one mum said to us that we have always had a closeness and that was damaged. It seems to be coming back. So to hear that from mums who've completed the programme, it just gave us that confidence this programme was something that we didn't want to put on a shelf. We wanted to get it out there. We took it into what we call scale up. So we did that, and that was working with external agencies, recognising here at the NSPCC, we've got a limited resource, a finite resource. We want as many people as possible who could benefit from this sort of evidence-based intervention to access it. So we did, we took it externally, and that's where our child really went through an evolution, really. We undertook further evaluation, looking at, well, how does it work outside of NSPCC land, as it were? And that implementation evaluation taught us a lot about how to take a service to scale and how it works in different contexts, because context is so important. But what that evaluation was able to tell us was that there were things that we had to change to really make this programme flourish externally, take it out of our NSPCC greenhouse and put it into someone else's garden.
So Mel, can I come to you? How long have you been working on DART for?
Probably since about 2012. And in that time, I think at Liverpool, we ran about 11 groups. And I think the thing I absolutely love about DART, I'm so passionate about DART, is because it does make a difference to children and families that experience coming on the DART programme. Even from sort of like from first meeting mums and children in the assessment stage, it absolutely makes a difference to our families that access the service. It might sound really corny, but it's very privileged working with mums and children who have had the experiences they have when they've experienced domestic abuse. It takes a lot for families to come forward. We know that, you know, a lot of research out there says that, you know, and we know firsthand that families often struggle to talk about domestic abuse. Whereas DART actually gives mothers and children the opportunity to start sharing their experiences. They develop an understanding of abuse and the impact that it's had on them. And as I say, DART has made a huge difference. I think one of the other things as well, one of the areas that we look at when families attend DART is their motivation to come to DART, because it is a massive commitment, 10 weeks. It's a 10-week programme and it's for 2 hours each week. And certainly what we used to find was that some of the mums may have been motivated to attend the group because they wanted to make a difference for their children. And what we found very early doors was sort of like in sessions sort of 3 and 4, you would get mums, I can think of one mum in particular, who had said quite categorically that she was attending the group for her child. She wanted to make a difference for her child. But then as saying in session 3 or 4, she sort of like very openly said in group that she had now started coming, not just because of her child, but because she was actually benefiting from coming to the group as well. So she was now, you know, gaining in confidence, her self-esteem was improving. She could see what a positive effect that their relationship building in the group was having on her and her son. So again, her motivation for coming, it developed through the life of the programme. So when children are referred to the programme, families are referred, very often You might have more than one child in a family that is referred, and through the assessment process we would assess which child we feel that is appropriate to come to any particular group. And what we found was that because mums benefited from attending, so mums would only attend with one child at any one time, because it is about them recovering together with that child and repairing that relationship. So if, you know, if they have other children, they can complete the programme again with each of their children. And we found, I think we must have had about three families where the mum's actually attended with all of her children, because she believed that it made such a difference to the children that she attended with.
That's great. That's really good to hear.
Some of the activities that they completed in Dart, they were actually using at home with the other children who maybe didn't attend them as well. So some of the skills that they developed to work with one of their children, that they can actually use with other children in the family.
Great, and that's really important, isn't it, to have that consistency between what goes on, you know, when you come to the service and what goes on at home. That's brilliant. And it shows that it's working, and it's important if people are, you know, adopting it back at home. That's really good to hear. It's really powerful. Mel and Claire, you've both talked about the scale up of DART. So, you know, NSPCC wants to reach more children and families with services that we've got a good evidence base behind, but also support those organisations to kind of adopt, implement and deliver. Natalie, you are one of the services that have taken up DART via My Sister's House. Can you talk to us about your experiences of being a scale-up site and how you began working with us and how the DART has worked with you guys?
Yeah, so our sort of DART journey started in 2016 when we were awarded an 18-month pilot. We then started providing DART sessions in 2017 because it forms part of our local service provision for domestic abuse within My Sister's House Women's Centre. And since then we've had top-up grants and also secured extra funding. So last year we finished courses 9 and 10. And obviously this year we were supposed to be continuing running courses because we try to do a minimum of 3 a year. But obviously due to what's happened, that's all been postponed recently.
Sure.
We were actually just in the assessment process when we went into lockdown. So all those families are now on a waiting list. So when we initially began delivering the course, we provided it across the whole of West Sussex locality. And this proved extremely challenging. Even though we were able to deliver it to lots of different locations, it was so challenging because it's such a big area. So last year we decided to run it just coastally. So we did Bognor, Worthing, Littlehampton. But families are still able to travel, and sometimes if we can, we help them with the transport costs. So to start with, when we first started, the uptake was quite slow, as with any new service. So we had to get out into the community and really promote it. And we visited schools and GPs, and we did Sussex Police conference. You know, we really got out there and promoted it. And, you know, now we have a huge waiting list. To date, we have, you know, we've had 47 children complete the course, which is 25 girls and 22 boys. And we're seeing the most popular age that we're seeing is between 8 and 10. But now on our waiting list, we've got loads of boys, and we're seeing an increase in the age group between 12 and 14. In April 2018, we agreed to take part in the NSPCC evaluation of DART, and we submitted our data for 6 groups. And we have seen excellent results. You know, before DART, both the mothers and children's self-ratings indicated that they were experiencing a really high number of emotional and behavioural difficulties, and that placed them in the high needs category. And after completing DART, their scores had improved substantially and suggested, you know, that they had fewer difficulties in lots of areas, which was supported by the feedback from mums, but also schools. You know, nearly every mother participating had critically low self-esteem prior to the course. And this obviously shocked and saddened us and proved what a significant problem it was. But, you know, post-DART, all bar one had moved into the normal or above normal range.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. And in general, I think what we've seen over the years is the significance of the abuse. It has increased substantially. Mm. When we first started, the referral, you know, nowadays we're seeing really high-end domestic abuse, which can cause challenges in itself, but we've had so many highlights. And, you know, people often ask us, you know, how do you do this job? How do you, you know, listen about from children and see the distress? But for me, as with anyone, it's not something I ever want to get used to, but being part of that family's recovery and seeing the positive and beneficial changes just makes it all so worthwhile.
That's good. That's good to hear. And I think you're right what you say, Natalie. It's really tough and it's really hard. Even for the most seasoned practitioners, it must be difficult to hear. But to actually, run a service that's having real benefits.
One thing I wanted to flag is that Natalie had mentioned collaborating at my sister's house with us on an evaluation. And I just wanted to expand on that. First of all, to say that without our scale-up partners, we couldn't undertake evaluations such as this. But we've got an evaluation being published later on in September, looking at the outcomes that can be achieved through DART, so that we have the evidence to say that whether the question was, can scale-up DART achieve the same outcomes as NSPCC DART? So we collaborated with six of our scale-up partners who provided us with data, thanks to the families that they work with who consented to be part of that, to contributing to this evidence base. And what that study has shown is that indeed we can achieve similar outcomes, the same statistically significant outcomes. So that's been a real, real sort of great way to mark DART's 10th anniversary.
Yeah, it's been great for us to be part of it as well, because it's helped us secure extra funding, because we can show statistically that we're making such a significant positive difference to the families that we're working with.
That's great.
I think that's right as well, because, you know, it's not just NSPCC staff that are saying we know it works and it makes a difference. It clearly is evidence that it does make a difference for families.
Could we talk generally about domestic abuse? I mean, especially in the current climate, since COVID, the pandemic, we've heard a lot in the news about domestic abuse, about women's refuges and helplines being inundated with calls about the rise in domestic abuse. Could we talk about that and what your experiences have been at my sister's house, and then move on to Mel and Claire about your kind of experiences, what's been happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think when this all first happened, I don't think it was necessarily envisaged how difficult being in lockdown, if you're in an abusive relationship, how challenging that would be. You know, that meant for a lot of people, there was absolutely no respite from the perpetrator. There was no time out, you know, to do their usual routines. And, you know, we had to adapt as a service for the Women's Centre to try and still reach those children, you know, the mums and children in need. And we had to, you know, we've gone on to an online chat service where, you know, we're open till 10 at night. We've had to carry on working, you know, via home, but, you know, we're still trying to reach those families that need it the most. I don't think it was ever really envisaged how difficult and challenging this would be and how significant the abuse has been. There is literally no escape.
And Mel and Claire, how does domestic abuse impact children?
So we know that, you know, very often, certainly, you know, physical assaults of women very often start when the mum is pregnant. So even when the child isn't born, the unborn child can be experiencing domestic abuse, and sort of like mum's body when she's under stress and under pressure and under a lot of anxiety produces cortisol, which obviously can clearly have an effect on the unborn child. We've got children who, you know, sort of like from sort of like 2 to 5 years, it can be very frightening, it can be very nervous for them, it can create, you know, they experience trauma, and, you know, certainly a lot of research has linked that trauma to very similar to, or for some children, they experience post-traumatic distress. They can have, you know, nightmares, temper tantrums, can be aggressive. Older children can try and get involved in sort of like if there's an incident between mum and dad, and they try and sort of like get involved, so they're at risk of getting injured themselves. They can't be withdrawn, there are so many negative effects that domestic abuse has an impact on children from sort of like from age, really.
I think also it's worth mentioning that the damage it causes the relationship with the non-abusing parent, which is, you know, most often the mother. You know, mothers may struggle to meet the needs of their child as they're drained of like the energy and emotional resources needed to parent effectively. They might also underestimate the impact that the abuse has had on their children. However much people think they've hidden things from their children, they almost certainly know more and see more than we ever think.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important through DART that we look at that relationship and we encourage the communication to rebuild the relationship that that mother and child had and the trust and security that they need to thrive. It literally impacts children's every aspect of their health and well-being.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think sort of pulling those strands together, that is why the work around the domestic abuse bill has been so very important. That children are recognised as experiencing domestic abuse, that growing up in a house where domestic abuse is occurring does impact upon them. They don't just witness it, they experience it.
Yeah,
all of the reasons that Natalie and Mel have outlined. And that is why we are very much continuing to lobby and to push for, in terms of the bill, for a kind of a vital final step for BT government to make it a legal requirement that children and young people do have access to specialist recovery services. And obviously that's a big ask, but we do recognise for all of those reasons that Mel and Natalie have outlined that this isn't something that sort of happens around children. This happens to them and the experience.
It does, absolutely. And you know, when we talk about domestic abuse, we need to view it as a form of trauma, but not just a single episode, a repetitive, ongoing abuse, and we know how many children are affected, so it has to be taken into consideration because it's vital, because it's affecting these children's outcomes as adults.
Absolutely. And I was going to come on to the domestic abuse bill, Claire, so thanks for bringing it up. So I know at the NSPCC, and I guess the same for you, Natalie, that we're all continuing to kind of advocate and press for children experiencing domestic abuse to be better protected by the law. It also highlights that it's needed more than ever, because children who have been in lockdown and those traditional routes of being safeguarded, whether that is by schools or by services the NSPCC runs, or services like yours, Natalie, my sister's house, haven't been there for a while, or they certainly haven't been there in the traditional forms. And so children have probably been really kind of witnessing it and experiencing it day in, day out.
We speak about, you know, the NSPCC still being here for children throughout the pandemic and throughout lockdown, even if it does feel a little bit different. But in terms of the contacts to our helpline, we are seeing an increase in terms of contacts around about domestic abuse, from approximately 140 a week around about domestic abuse up to about 185 per week.
Gosh, yeah.
So that's significant. So it's really important that people do feel that they can contact. As Natalie said, a lot of service providers have moved to virtual, to text, to telephone. So I think it's really important that people do still reach out where they can to these different services, even if it might feel a bit different for the next while, because as Natalie said, everything's being upturned for people in terms of where they could have perhaps access support previously.
But, you know, certainly, you know, that breaks down in real terms. The NSPCC helpline statistics recorded on the 10th of June in 2020 showed that there was, on average, there was one call an hour for children who had experienced domestic abuse. So that's one, which, it's scary.
Claire, Mel, Natalie, thanks so much for giving us your insights and your experiences and your expertise. We really appreciate it, and it's been great to hear about DART.
Thank you for listening to this NSPCC Learning podcast. If you're looking for more safeguarding and child protection training, information or resources, please visit our professionals' website at nspcc.org.uk/learning.